Welcome to the Breathe Podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and creativity. We interview artists from all walks of life to discover how faith plays a role in their art and expression, hoping to encourage you to live a life of creativity and faith. And now, please welcome your co-hosts, Derek Engoy, Christian Mendoza, and Kevin Horton. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Breathe Faith and Creativity podcast. My guest that I have on for today, I think the last time I talked to him was in 2019. At least that's the last time you heard from him on the Breathe podcast. I'd like to reintroduce you to Justin Castillo. Justin, welcome back to the Breathe Faith and Creativity podcast. That's the first time I've ever had to say that.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me. Such an honor and a pleasure to be back.
Well, how have things been going for the last 900 days?
crazy, right? I mean, I think we went through a pandemic. I think a lot of things changed. I think I had just started acting school at Actors Studio of Orange County in 2019. And I graduated last year. And since then, I've signed with a manager. So that's a little bit of a change. Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit in time to where you were in 2019 and give a little capsule of time and where you are right now. You're the host. You were the host, or you're still the host of Tsunami Healing Podcast, but that has taken a little bit of a form change, and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. 2019 was a huge year, I think, for a lot of people, especially for me. Like I said, I decided that I was going to switch gears, go from voiceover and improv to on-camera acting. So I decided to start taking classes at Actors Studio of Orange County. I enrolled and started doing that then. I was also in a different relationship at the time, as you know. And 2020 came around and COVID crashed my birthday party. I moved. So I was living in Huntington Beach then. And then I moved to Anaheim, Cyprus. And the world, you know, kind of stopped, you know, went on pause. And during that time, I had a lot of great interviews, a lot of podcast interviews with people that I normally wouldn't interview with, such as like Joan Baker and Rudy Gaskins of That's Voiceover Expo.
Shout out to Joan and Rudy. Woo woo.
Yeah, yeah. And I was getting some really great interviews. And toward the end of 2020, I don't know, I just felt like there was a change or a shift coming. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with it yet, but I felt like I wanted to kind of take Tsunami and Tsunami Healing into its next chapter. So during the pandemic, I started streaming on Twitch. I did that for a few months, had a lot of fun doing it. And I also launched a YouTube channel. So I took Tsunami Healing to the next level, next platform. And in September of 2021, I started making YouTube videos. And now it's been a whole year since I've done YouTube videos. During the pandemic, all throughout, I was doing my intermediate classes at Actors Studio of Orange County online, and that was an experience. And then in 2022, I finished the advanced, and then months later, very thankful I have my manager now. And I also forgot to mention that in 2020, I met my now girlfriend, Kim, and that was really nice too, because I felt like God put us in each other's lives to keep us sane during that time. And it was a lot of walks at the beach and at the park, because that's about the only thing we could do. those really helped keep me sane. And I'm very blessed in this moment today, Kevin. And I actually, you know, I had a moment where I got out of my car today. I was working in San Clemente. That's a small town here in Southern California. And it was like beautiful outside, 60, 70 degrees outside. And I just took a look around and I made a quick little video And I just was thankful. And I just wanted to document that because I thought about, I was like, man, you know, I manifested this years ago. Like I put in so much work to live and work here in California. And I was like, today was the product of work that I had done like 10 years ago, probably even before that. I just said one day, I said, man, I want to live and work in California. I want to live in a place where there's like vacation weather all year round. And today I reminded myself that I got to do that. So, yeah, man, it's been a lot. And it's been, I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. And I really want to take a look back at where you were in 2019.
Yeah.
To where you are now, and what a paradigm shift it's been. That's a $10 word, isn't it? Paradigm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just to where you were in 2019. You were doing a lot of self-help, if mm-hmm. I can remember correct, self-help, and mm-hmm. look at where you are now. So take us on that journey. What looking back to the beginning of Tsunami Healing mm-hmm. to now, what makes you proud?
Yeah, I'll take you through bits and pieces of it. It's a long story, and I talk a lot about it on Tsunami Healing. But long story short, I moved here in 2015, almost 8 years ago. In 2016, 2017, 2018, I was doing a lot of personal development events. I mean, like back-to-back, hardcore, gosh, probably like 4 or 5 big events a year. And I finished the program. I finished a couple programs. I kind of finished it all, did it in about 2.5 years. And in those 2.5 years, I learned so much about myself. Mind you, you know, I was in a different relationship with another person at that time. And shout out to her. She's the owner and founder of Self Love Story. And she gave me a lot of inspiration to start Tsunami Healing. But I learned a lot about people, about men and about women. And I learned a lot about relationships and communication from her. And I'm very thankful for that. And in 2019, we were both really frustrated in our relationship. And I gotten so low to a point, Kevin, to where I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to kill myself. And I've talked about this on the show before. And shout out to anybody who, you know, who's going through that, because it was a really dark space. And for me, I never really wanted to do it. But the thing that scared me, like the thing that put me over the edge, was I started looking up ways to do it. And when I did that, I broke, because I was like, man, this is real. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, what is happening? I was able to get in a session with my therapist, my counselor, and we came to terms that I didn't want to kill myself at all. I was just so stressed that I just wanted a way out. And once I had that awareness, I was able to work on that. So this was end of 2019. 2020, my ex-girlfriend moved because she wanted to travel the world, which I was like, hey, I get it. I understand. Go. And I was like, I want to stay here and I want to be an actor. And so that's what we did. And it was tough because I was just so stressed out. There was so much pressure on us both. And, you know, me particularly. And, you know, I let all that go because I realized that it just wasn't healthy for either of us. And then Kim walks into my life, and we met at the beach, and we just sat down and talked for hours. And it felt like I had known her my whole life. And I felt like it was just something new and different. And really, honestly, like we really were just friends. And I do a word for the year every year. In 2019, my word was surrender, and it served me very well. And I talk a lot about this. I won't go into too much detail. But the way I get these words for the year is I do deep meditations and I pray a lot. And I talk a lot to God and I look for signs. God gives me these words months before it's the new year. So I got the word connection for 2020, Kevin, and we talked about that. And little did I know, like, how big of an impact. Like, nobody knew what we were going to in 2020, right? So that carried me through the year, and that meant so much to me because everybody needed human connection that year, right?
Everybody.
Yeah. So that happened. I was going through a lot of changes creatively. Like I said, just trying things, getting on TikTok, getting on Twitch. I think everybody was doing that, doing a lot of live streams. But I always knew like I needed a new platform. Like I wanted a bigger reach. And I was getting to the point, Kevin, where I was kind of burnt out with Tsunami Healing. And we had a lot of talks about that. But I felt like I wasn't completely done with it. I just needed something new and different to where I could sustain it for a longer time. So I was always looking for that platform. And then it was just revealed to me that YouTube was it, where I can make videos. I don't have to make them all the time. And it can still be relevant. And I can switch things over. Because Tsunami Healing is a one-man show. It's just me. And I've had a lot of great guests. And I was like, man, I've created such a powerful body of work. Like, I don't want to just put this to rest. Like, I want to continue it. And like, who knows what it can turn into. So I switched and I started making YouTube videos. All the while, still taking acting classes, still doing all this stuff. So my word for 2021 was master. And what that meant was master your craft. And so 2021 was the year I went into bodybuilding, weightlifting. And I changed my like health completely. And during the pandemic, all the grocery stores were shut down. So I found this meal prep company in Costa Mesa and I started buying from them. And I was at, I think, 190 or 200 pounds when I started. And then by the time I was done with COVID, so like a whole year, 2020, I dropped down to 160 pounds because I was working out, walking, and eating right. And I felt great. I just felt really healthy. But, 160 is a little thin for me. So I started bodybuilding, and then I got up to the biggest and strongest I'd ever gotten. I was deadlifting 315 pounds. I was, bench pressing 185. I'm talking like three sets of 10. These numbers don't mean anything. It's just for me, when I first started out, I was only benching 90 pounds. I couldn't even do a deadlift, or I wasn't even doing a squat right. So just to have some weight to put it on, I got up to 210 pounds and I just felt good. And then 2022 comes around, and my word for 2022 was balance. So I had all these amazing experiences, all these amazing things. And that year was tough for me personally, because as you know, like, we're perfectionists and like we overthink everything. And like, I was just driving myself to burnout all the time. So I learned in 2022 how to balance that. And the thing that kept coming and I kept learning about was like your morning routine. What is your morning routine? And for me, it's just getting up, stretching, and praying and meditating just to set the tone for the day. And I do that sometimes, wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, go to the gym, get your workout in and be done by 7, 8 o'clock, ready to go for the whole day. And I love doing that. It was just getting hard to sustain. So I switch it up and I balance it out. And that brought me to two different books. And I talked about that before in Tsunami Healing, but a book called Balance by Pastor Robert Torres. And I'm sorry, Torrey, Robert Torrey. And then the other book by Michael W. Singer, The Untethered Soul. So I read those two books that in 2022, and I learned all about balancing your life on like a spiritual level, not just like time management, but like, way deeper than that. And I realized like, we talk about this all the time. Like, you just have to do things for you, to fill yourself back up. And you have to allow yourself to be yourself so that you can show up for other people. God gave me this word for 2023. And we've talked a lot about this too, is the word create. So now I'm in a good space to create, good habits, have more creative outlets, create opportunities for growth. That's kind of been the biggest thing that's been carrying me so far, is especially like in all my relationships, creating opportunities for growth where they're all around you. It's just taking that opportunity to connect with people where you weren't before. All the while, like, all these things are happening, right? Like, I'm graduating, from my actor studio. Kim is graduating from grad school at Chapman to be a speech language pathologist. She's getting a brand new job and she's loving it. You know, we're making plans, taking trips to different places. We just recently, I took her back home to Virginia so she could meet my mom's side of the family, like the people I grew up with. And she had never been to Washington, D.C. before, so she got to experience that. And it's just creating a life together, you know, creating a stronger relationship with God and with the people around me, and a stronger relationship with myself, learning a lot about myself still. So that's a long story in a medium form. So I won't keep us here for too much longer.
I love that. And I've been with you for that entire journey. And I think about that now. And I've been with you almost every step of that journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to look back now and to say, wow, in 2019, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
To all of a sudden, 2023, you look back and said, I did.
Yeah.
Now, how is it going to change?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful part, is we develop connection. And I look at this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know it's just me and my microphone. And I always say this, it's me, my microphone, and my mind, and my voice. And I do my thing. You hardly have a realization that, okay, the minute you put that out there, it could go all over the world.
Yeah.
And it does. And the reach is phenomenal. And I was a guest on season one with Pastor Derek for Breathe. And sometimes, I don't know if you do this, I listen to my own advice that I gave myself in my own voice 3 years ago. And I'm like, why am I still having a problem? I need to listen to my own advice.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear how you were back then, and now you hear how you are here. And then you, what I loved you to say was, you need to celebrate the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about, hey, I got up at 5:30 this morning, and I got to go over and exercise, and I exercised for an hour.
Absolutely.
And I did that 3 times this week, and I'm developing a habit now to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to celebrate and to say, hey, I got that workout done. Hey, I did the podcast episode today. Hey, I got cast in that voiceover thing or that acting thing. And what I hear in your voice is contemplation and celebration. And it's like you reached a peak of some sort, and you can look around and go, hey, I can see where I came from. I can see the journey. And the journey wasn't always easy. It wasn't. I mean, it just wasn't. Life wasn't. We didn't expect 2020. We expected a full year in 2020. What did we get? 3 months?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everything just went on pause.
Yeah.
And the whole world just went berserk. But yet, out of that berserkness came a connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that, you adapted Tsunami Healing to what it needed to be at the time. That's what I see. And I think is beautiful to bring out is, we weren't perfect, or you weren't perfect in doing it, but you always look at it and you say, well, this is what it was then or 6 months ago, but now it doesn't need to be that. It morphs. The word is I'm thinking about is morph.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that just like God?
Mm-hmm.
To say, okay, looks like you're getting comfortable doing that. Let's switch gears and make you drive an automatic when you don't even know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to drive an automatic and go, well, you're driving it, so get it, and you're smiling at me, so you know exactly what that feels like. And we've talked to each other sometimes late at night going, I don't know what God is doing. And you respond back to me and said, just relax and be yourself. Mm-hmm. It can't be that easy. And the truth is, it is, it's not easy, but it is that simple.
Yeah. I'm laughing because, you know, I always go back to, we plan, God laughs. And it's so true. I think Kevin, your word, and we kept saying it for 2020, was change. Change is the constant. It's constantly changing. And change is uncomfortable. And God loves change. I think the most consistent thing is God, right? And
yes.
Our breath, because, you know, it never stops until it's our time, right? So, yes. So, I'm just laughing because things are always changing. And tsunami healing has changed and evolved so much from where it first started. I mean, it was literally just an idea that I had, and it turned into this whole podcast show. And I just looked actually the other day, and overall in its 4-year journey or history as a podcast, it had over 13,000 downloads, which we're not breaking the internet with that. But I mean, for an idea that nobody knows about from a person that doesn't have a huge name anywhere, that's a really awesome, like, you know, small following. And I'm grateful to every guest that I had, to every listener that I had, or anybody that was involved or inspired or touched by it. So that was pretty cool. And it has evolved now, Kevin. And the thing that came to me the other day, and what I've talked about in my videos, is tsunami healing now, what it is now, and all of its experience and its journey, it is your safe space, my creative outlet. So I get to talk about all the fun, crazy things that it's inside of my head, swirling around for Derek. It's just a lot of stuff that goes on in our head.
Are you still tracking?
And tsunami healing is where I get it out. I can talk about it. And it's your safe space, because sometimes we talk about heavy topics. And sometimes we talk about, you know, what we like and didn't like. It's just opinions on stuff, right? Or we do reviews. Or we just talk about heavy subjects, like emotions, you know, and just other stuff that, you know, sometimes people don't like to talk about. So it's your safe space, your safe space to bring it to the microphone. And then it's a creative outlet for me. It's like free therapy. and you get to have fun doing it.
Exactly. For me, this podcast is my safe space. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that my safe space gets blasted out as a podcast to other people. And the episode that I did just recently is was a bonus episode. And how it happened, interestingly, as you know, I was struggling through something, waking up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, I have to think of another podcast subject. And then I got quiet before God, and that's when it happens. When you get quiet before God, when all of a sudden you just stop talking, and I say in the episode, I just turned around, looked up to the ceiling, and I said the words, "What?" And then this thought came to me of, your next podcast episode is about you and about what you're going through right now. It fell right in front of me. And all these ideas started trickling down. And as God is my witness, I thought it was going to be, hey, 15, 20 minutes. No, it turned into 35 minutes of me blabbing. But what it was for me was a way to verbally, and you know this word because I'm going to say it, verbally throw up. Mm-hmm. And I used it as a way of going, I just need to get these words out. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's what it was. It was therapeutic for me to talk about it. Then I thought, I need to edit this. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to make me sound pretty and all that stuff and speak. So I'm going to put it out the way it is. I'm going to bookend it with the music and just put it out there. And that was very cathartic for me in a way. And then you get a response back where, hey, you always want to say, like Bullwinkle says, you know, is anybody listening to this?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get a response from a friend of mine that I haven't talked to in a while. And she said, I'd like to download your podcast. And I said, okay, this is the next episode. And she listened to it. And she messaged me and said, that was exactly what I needed to hear today. And every time that blows me away. Mm-hmm. And I know it's the same for you. For what we do, which is creative, a lot of it is very, very much out of our own imperfection. I'm talking about me. It come out and talk about those subjects that are taboo. Mm-hmm. Bring it up.
Yeah.
Bring it up and go there. And for me, when I listen to Tsunami Healing, that's exactly what you did. And you continue to do that now. It's just a different way of doing it. Mm-hmm. The next question I have for you is something that we asked you years ago, is how do you define faith now? Or is it the same definition, or what's your take on it?
Oh, I'm curious to see what I said years ago. But in the moment right now, faith to me is, actions without seeing. Right. So with motive behind it. So you think about like childlike faith, right? Like have childlike faith in your relationship with God. You know, your parents tell you to do something. You don't ask questions. You just do it because they told you to. Right. And you just believe and you trust them. And it's also, you know, having actions with things unseen. Right. Kind of like the story of Thomas. He didn't see God, so he didn't believe him. So God came to him, and then he believed. It's like believing in the first place without having to see of it first, right? So, yeah, and it's crazy because faith can move mountains, right? Like, so, like, what does that mean, right? On a spiritual level, that means if you just believe, you first believe, powerful things can happen. You know, I realized, Kevin, that your mind is so powerful. You know, what you think, what you breathe, what you believe, that is in you, that is you. And you can manifest things. And God, you just talk to God and things will happen. And I've noticed too, like if you have a belief that something you can do is monumental and you put in the action for it, people will see that and they'll want to help you. And things just start happening. The process just starts moving.
It's contagious.
Yeah. So to me, faith is actions without seeing, with motive behind it.
That's a beautiful definition, I think, because it, as an outsider looking in as to all the projects you've done, that's all I've seen, everything you've done. And it's not been easy. I keep going back to the part saying it has not been easy, because it, let's just go there and say it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy to, I remember nights where you were saying, is anybody listening to this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was the one person to say, I am.
Yeah.
Remember how many times I was, I am, because I was.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying, I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And another beautiful thing that you do and have been associated with, and I want to give a shout out to, is Improv City. In a beautiful town right near us called Orange, California, Santa Ana, Tustin, mm-hmm. right around there.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful things they do there, improv. And I know Justin may not want to talk about it much, but I went to go see him, and he absolutely blew that audience away with when I went to see the performance, because improv is not easy. Improv, you have to think on your feet. just for an example, what would you say to our audience that goes through your mind as an improv actor when you're given a subject?
You know, I've been very, very blessed to meet Devin Dugan, Lee Godden, and Gina Dugan. I first met Lee and Bob. They're with Advantage Improv, and they're a part of Improv City. Lee is. And I took their 5-week workshop. And I then moved on and got to meet Devin at Improv City. And these guys have been doing improv for over 20 years. And Devin comes from Wisconsin. Lee was in the Navy and was a drummer, and is also a business professional. He's worked many different jobs. He has a book out there. I believe it's called Zen Why Selling. They're amazing. And Kevin, I think I told you so many times, when I first started improv, I was so insecure. I would come home crying after shows, screaming, telling myself I suck, I'm horrible, I don't deserve to be here. And it was always Devin. Devin always had an eye for me. He would always see me in the corner by myself, and he'd come over to me and be like, "Hey, buddy, like, what are you doing? Like, just sitting there crying?" He's like, "Dude, I'm going to tell you something. You are brilliant. You are amazing. I've seen you on that stage. You are a genius." He's like, "You just got to believe that you have so much talent." And he would always pick me up and give me a hug every time. And the way that I learned improv, Kevin, and the best advice he ever gave me was, don't think. Just be in the moment and respond. And he said, the way to get better at improv is you just pick one thing and work on that for a week or a month. And then you pick another thing and you work on that for a period of time. And he said, over time, you just put all that together and you're not even thinking about it anymore. You're just doing it. And that's what he's done. And I mean, they're great. They're amazing at it because they've done so many different forms of improv, long form, short form, game style, Harold style. They've performed at all the major improv festivals that are here and all over, you know, the country. And I mean, they're voiceover actors and actors and everything else. And if you were to give me a subject, I would say the thing that I would do and the thing that makes improv funny is you yes and your partner. You make your partners look good, because in the troupe, it is not about you. It is about your troupe. You don't, if you're doing game style, you don't go out there to win. You go out there to give the audience a good show. So if you have that in your mind and your heart, you just be present in the scene. You take the gifts that your partners give you and you just enhance them and give them gifts back. And I promise you, you're going to have fun. It's going to be funny. And the more that the audience can tell that you're having fun, they're going to have 10 times more fun. Just be in the moment and respond. Don't think.
And what I find that is interesting about improv is sometimes you go to a comedian, and then you always have the people that always want to retell the jokes when they talk to their friend. Mm-hmm. And they say, it was so funny when the comedian said it, and then you try and say it and you get crickets.
Yeah.
But there's something about improv. Mm-hmm. You can't retell that.
Yeah. So while you're on that, I want to define this real quick too. So there's different forms of improv. When I say improv, most people think of stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is not improv. There is some improvisation that goes into the skill of it, but stand-up comedy is stand-up comedy. Improv, there's short form and there's long form. Short form is kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway type games. Sometimes there's a host, sometimes there's not. Long form is Harold style, where that's a form of long form. Long form can be a 30-minute scene or an hour scene where an audience will give the troupe on stage one word, and they come up with inspiration and they can take that scene for an hour. That's long form. And usually the only people who watch long form improv are people who do long form improv. Same thing with short form improv. But I will tell you, Kevin, that when I discovered that, I found out there is no such thing like live entertainment. Like that connection between you and the crowd, like it is like the strongest drug like you could ever have, that will give you life and energy. I mean, to say something, but what improv is to fail big and not be afraid to look stupid. And when you commit and you get that laugh, man, it gives you life, Kevin. Like, I'm lighting up right now just thinking about it, because there's nothing else like that. For you to have a crowd like vibe with you and understand you and hear you and think that you're naturally funny when you're just in the scene responding. And it's this magical thing that happens. I don't know how to explain it, but that's what it is. And it's a beautiful thing. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with any one form. I'm just explaining the forms to you, because a beautiful thing that we've noticed is Kim right now is really into stand-up comedy. We actually just went and we saw Sarah Silverman right here in Irvine. And there is a whole list of people coming to all the surrounding cities near us. And they call those the improv, even though they're stand-up places. And right now, we just got tickets to go see Jerry Farrow coming up in April. We're going to go see Margaret Cho, I believe, in March. And I asked her, and I said, you know, I've noticed, like, you like this. Like, this is your thing. And we recently just saw Joe Coy at the Anaheim Honda Center. And I said, you know, what is it? And she's like, you know, I love these shows because I like them better than concerts and like music festivals, because like they're not that expensive. She's like, you get to sit down and eat and drink. And she's like, they just make you laugh. And she's like, it makes me feel so much better. Like, it is so healing to just sit down and just laugh and have a good time. And I dig that. And like, that's something that we share together right now. So it's inspiring me, and it's making me want to go back to my troupe in improv. And it's making me, this is the first time I've announced this, but I went to go sign up because Improv City does a stand-up comedy show called Boom. It's the first Tuesday of every of the month. And I reached out and I asked, like, hey, do you guys have any open mic spots for March? They're booked. So right now they have me on call for April. So I may be doing stand-up comedy for the first time ever in April, which I'm really excited about. But just for the troupe, I am excited to get back into the show. I just want to go do shows again. And it's tough because I'm an actor now, and you know, I got to focus on my acting career. But yeah, there's just nothing like that live entertainment. And the beautiful thing about it is the more you do it, it just makes you better at everything. So yeah, man, I love it.
It does. And I want to also explain something and bring something up that you and I have shared, and we'll bring it out to the podcast group. We finally got to see Alice Cooper.
We did.
Live at the Greek Theater. And you know, I can tell you that everybody may have different opinions about him, but the one thing he is a showman.
Yeah.
And I can just try to explain. For years, I've tried to explain to Justin what it was like to see that show.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of vaudeville and everything, vaudeville and old school and new school and horror and comedy and rock music and loudness and balloons and just all this stuff. It's like a visual and a audio deluge.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because a lot of people have been telling me, and I think even you told me, like, if you are a Halloween or Haunt fan, you have to see Alice Cooper at least once in your life. And even like when I was showing videos to friends and like showing it to Kim, she's like, I notice he is doing so much work up on the stage. Like, there's so much showmanship. Like, what is going on? There's a whole story being told on stage. And she's like, I don't feel like it's just like a concert. Like, you're at a whole like event. And I was like, I know. I was like, that is the craftsmanship of Mr. Alice Cooper. And I'm excited you brought that up, Kevin, because speaking of the Honda Center, I don't know if you looked, but Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper are coming to the Honda Center, and you're shaking your head later this year. So
I did.
We ourselves and go watch that. Experience that, shall I say.
Because we'll just say the reality. Alice Cooper is in his mid-70s.
Yeah.
Get this. He plays golf. He's in his mid-70s. And most people would think at that time you're supposed to slow down. That man does like 200 dates a year of just concert.
And loving life, happy about
it. He is.
Healthy.
And he has not had an easy life either. You look at his history, he could have checked out many times, but didn't. And he's on video now giving marital advice about how to keep your marriage together when you've got a rock couple. Because what I've learned is his whole family goes on tour.
Yeah, his wife was actually in the show, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, wife and daughter.
Yeah.
He says, so yeah, I don't miss them because they're with me every night that I'm here. So
yeah.
And then, so you'll learn whatever God gives you a gifting in, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not as easy as it sounds, but I've learned now in this coming into 2023, there's nobody like me. There's nobody like you, Justin, and people out in the Breed podcast audience, there's nobody like them. And so what we need to do is just take God at his word, or whatever spiritual force you believe in or don't believe in. Do what you can to live your life and take it one step at a time. The next question I like to discuss is, how do you see what you're doing as healing?
The most powerful moments for me so far that come to mind when you ask that is when I spoke out about wanting to commit suicide, and how I was able, by the grace of God, to pull myself out of a dark place. I had people reach out to me, Kevin, that I didn't know were struggling with the same thing. Some people who I had worked with that I never knew. And they came to me and they said, how did you do it? And I gave them personal messages and they said, man, you saved my life. Even now, you know, I almost just want to tear up to think that my voice, what I was doing, inspired somebody to make a decision for the better. And it was a beautiful thing because, you know, I followed up with them a few months later and they were like, yeah, you were right there when I needed you, man. Brand new episode every week. I love it. Thank you. To me, I felt like I won Tsunami Healing. I felt like, I was like, man, I can retire. Like this is, you know, God brought me here. Another big one was, I don't know when or how this happened. I just observed it and I give the glory to God. But I know that when I interviewed Pastor Derek for Tsunami Healing, I just know weeks, maybe months after the Breathe podcast started. So I'm very grateful and excited and humble to have been, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back, or that last piece of inspiration, because I'm sure that that was an idea that had been in the works. That helped start the Breathe podcast. That was a cool one for me. And another biggest big one, there's a lot, but another one is I got to interview my dad for the 100th episode. And I need to work on that and put it out on YouTube, because that in itself, where there were so many layers, I got to ask my dad every question I ever wanted to ask him. There was a healing between us that needed to happen. I understood him better for who he was as a person. I understood more of where I came from and who I am. And as a kid and as a person who hated my dad for so long, to let all that go and to just look at it from a different perspective and to have that time to sit down with him. And I think me and you talked about that, Kevin, is you wish that you had that opportunity with your dad to do something of that sort. And we left that episode with, if you are having any kind of trouble with a person or a parent, whoever it may be in your life, you know, we encourage them to reach out and just have that conversation. So, man, I mean, there were so many more moments, but those were some big ones for me that stood out. And I'm just excited again to see where this goes, because I feel like we are really still at the beginning in the forefront of what Tsunami Healing could be. And I'm just grateful to just simply just be a part of it. And you said, take it one step at a time. The mantra that I have for Tsunami Healing is keep healing the world one wave at a time. And like, what does that mean? That means take that next step wherever you are. You know what that thing is too. Like, go start writing that script, start writing your book, go reach out to your mom or your dad who you haven't talked to in years, and, you know, start that line of communication. Go apply for that job. Go do that audition. Whatever it is, like, go clean your desk that you've been waiting to do like all month. Like, whatever that next step is, wherever you are at in your life, take it and just keep following your purpose to keep healing the world one wave at a time. And there's so many stories we can talk about that, but I truly believe that just having hope, it just brings so much to people. So I'm grateful to be a part of this.
And it's good also to look back and to consider, because I think in the Bible a lot, God talks about you should meditate on things. And there's a verse, I'm trying to think of it, that you, if anything is good, if anything is of good report, mm-hmm. think on these things.
Yeah.
And so when we have anxiety or when we have negative things that are going on, we're thinking, but we're thinking on things that are not good or bringing up bad energy. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said a couple minutes ago, where you said that the brain and the mind is a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And in my counseling, I found out that the brain and the mind, they're always thinking. It's just depending upon what you focus on. And if the minute you stop focusing on something that gives you anxiety, somehow in a beautiful way, that feeling turns off. You're probably, we're not doing this. We're going to fix this. And so I've told you last couple of weeks, I've got new glasses. And it's called getting old, everybody. So you're working with things, and I get the new glasses, and I'm like, I called Justin. I go, I won't be able to do this thing. And what did you say to me? He goes, just take it 1 minute at a time. That's what you told me. And I was like, why don't I do that? And so I started doing that. Just take it 1 minute at a time, relax. And then now we're 3 weeks down the line and I'm still here and I can see, and things are getting progressively better, and you're getting used to it. So the thing that I wanted to say from an outsider looking in for what you've done is I'm very proud of what you've done. And I want to broadcast that to everybody to say, here's an example of somebody that took an idea. And I can remember the very night that you asked me, you said, should I do a podcast? And my answer was, why not? Was that my answer? I can't remember why not?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, how are we going to do that? I don't know. But you laugh when I say that, because we say it a lot. What do you want to do? I don't know. And yet, I give it to God. And we gave it to God. And the other beautiful thing that you said is it's still in the beginning. We thought that 3 years ago was the beginning. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning, then this is the beginning, then this is the beginning. So it's still the beginning. So it could grow. And I love how you look back and see all the things that you have been personally affected by. I go back to that conversation with your dad. And I also want to bring up, and I believe I've told you, when I went to Improv City to see you perform that one night with all of the graduates, I get out of my car and I walk down. Who do I run into but your dad? And he said, hey, we just saw Justin. Are you going to see him again? Yes, he did such a good job. And I couldn't wait to share that with you at the end of the show, and to let you know that you make a difference.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I'm really grateful. And thank you for coming that night. I think we had a great time. I just remember seeing you laughing and smiling all night. And I was like, all right, he's having a good time. And, you know, I realized a long time ago that there's so much hate and negativity and just horrible things that happen in this world that I wanted to put something out that can inspire people, that can give people some hope. And, you know, it's been, I'm very thankful because I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, you know, Justin, I've noticed you put out a lot of inspirational things. You're a pretty positive guy. And I really love what you're putting out into the world. So, you know, when you leave this world, you know, people are going to think about things you did or didn't do and think of you a certain way. So if and when I leave this world, because we're all heading that way, I hope that I leave this world with some hope and inspiration and just make it a little bit better than when we first came in. Because something that I think about a lot is, you know, I believe one of the greatest speakers, probably the greatest speaker we have ever seen in this lifetime, was Martin Luther King Jr. I studied just his mannerism and everything that he's done. And
his I Have a Dream speech is phenomenal.
Yeah, iconic, right? And mm-hmm. I think about how if we have people like Martin Luther King Jr. come through this world, and we are still dealing with all the exact same issues as when he was alive and before then, hundreds of years before, then what can I do? How am I going to make an impact? And that's what drives me. Because we are always going to have problems as humans because nobody's perfect. But if I can leave it just a little bit better and give hope and inspiration to people just for the day, for them to make it through the day and want to get up and just try, I don't know what else I can ask for. Like I said, I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
And I'm grateful to be a part of the Breathe podcast. And over, I've had a lot of opportunities to interview people that were people that I look up to. And I'm shout out to Rita Wild, shout out to C.W. West. And I know talking to Justin after the interview, I was like almost glowing. I felt like a fanboy. And I'm like, I got to talk to Rita, and he said, did she talk back to you? I said, yeah, that she did. He goes, then it's a good interview. And I remember that. And just to take that interview and to edit it together, and then you listen to the editing, and even when you do the interview, and I'm sure you can agree with this, you're so focused on the interview that you don't really focus to what's actually being said until you actually listen back to it and go, I can't believe that we even brought that up, and how this interview is like a living, breathing thing that you listen to it years down the line. And yeah. I'm going to ask you a question that you always ask me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put it to you. Where do you see your creative projects in 5 years or 10 years?
Yeah, I think definitely continuing to evolve, gaining a wider reach, and like I said, it's evolving into your safe space to nerd out, to love, to talk about the things that we love because we can't talk about them because there's so much going on out in the world. Is your place that, you know, when you're feeling uncomfortable, or you want to get past those difficult conversations, let's bring it to the microphone. Let's make a piece of art out of it. And whatever platform or medium that is, whether it's YouTube or some new social media app, or whether it's that turns into a journal or me writing a book or doing panels at conventions, it doesn't really matter the medium. The thing that matters, and like what I've told you multiple times, is we've talked about this and we agree, is that it's not about us at this point. We are involved in something that is bigger than us. This is about the people that we meet along the journey. This is about experiencing. This is about connecting with others. And this is about living in the moment. That's what the Breathe podcast is. That's what Tsunami Healing is. It's about the people. So as long as we stay focused on the people, I think that it's just going to keep continuing to grow. Will it become something like WWE? I don't know. I mean, that's a media empire, right? Like, will it become something as big as the NFL? I don't know. Will it stay small in the community, but, you know, bring people hope in my household, to my children? That's great too. Again, it's just, I don't know where it's going to go. I'm just excited to see, just like you are. But I think as long as it stays focused on the people, and it stays, you know, it continues to be our creative outlet, but a safe space for people to come together and connect, I think it's just going to continue to be a beautiful thing.
And that's also, I'd like to bring up, it's also about how you define success. Mm-hmm. And from what I read in the Bible, God considers success when one sinner comes to life to Jesus Christ. So adapting his mode of looking at everything, that if we influence the life or help somebody with whatever they need, that's a success.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to look at, is what you're doing today, or what you're creative, what you're doing today, maybe you have impacted somebody positively that really needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up this interview, because we could probably go 6-7 hours, and then it'd be like part 5, part 6, part 7, part 8, part 9, part, and then we'd be in season 45.
And then so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so.
You read that same chapter of the Bible, I was like, when's this thing going to end?
Right.
Or as Janet Jackson would say, is that the end? That's mm-hmm. one of her songs would say that. If someone walked up to you and wanted advice from you, what one piece of advice, or what would you say to them if they wanted to start their own podcast or finally live out that idea?
I would say take that next step. Do whatever it is to get you closer to where you want to be. Our CEO of our company, he just said this at our big meeting, is we are 1,000,000 miles away from where we want to be. But let's just get a little bit closer. So I would just tell them, just take that next step. And just keep going.
Justin, I enjoyed this interview. And like we started, when we started, we came on to this Zoom call and I said, do you know what we're doing? And no. And it's whenever we say that, and whenever we don't plan it, well, we planned a little bit. I don't want to say we didn't plan it, but when you just let the conversation flow, it becomes a beautiful interview.
Yeah, I think it usually starts with, hey, Kevin, I got an idea. Okay, what? Let's just hit record. Okay. So, yeah, thank you so much, Kevin. It's an honor and a pleasure to be back here. And shout out to Chris and Derek over here at Breathe Creative Faith Podcast. And thank you guys so much. It's always a pleasure.
We always end the interview with something we call the lightning round. And I know you're going to love this, because you should see his face right now. He just shook his head. It was the biggest no, but you know.
I don't know what you, I love the lightning round. Let's do it.
Okay. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
I know you real well right now. And I'm going to throw this one out to you. I'm going to put the big zinger right now. Mm-hmm. Rise of the Resistance or Mickey's Runaway Railway?
Rise of the Resistance.
Knott's Chicken or KFC?
Knott's Chicken.
Foghorn Leghorn or Bugs Bunny?
Bugs Bunny.
Starbucks or Coffee Bean?
Starbucks.
And here's the big thinker, not stinker, thinker. Mm-hmm. Comic-Con or Pinky and the Brain?
Comic-Con, because you can see Pinky in the Brain at Comic-Con. Done.
And ladies and gentlemen, I knew he was going to respond that way, so that's why when you know a good friend, that's what you do. And as you can't see, he's smiling ear to ear. So it's either because I've told all my stupid jokes within the last hour, or Justin, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kevin, man. I love you, buddy. It's always a pleasure.